Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the biggest stories on an NFL, on a day that's usually dominated by the NFL, the Monday after games. This is right smack dab in the middle of it all because it's Penn State. It's one of the most historic, prestigious college football programs of all time. And they've been on the doorstep of winning national championships lately where they're getting close. They're getting invited to the party, but they're just not getting the job done. And so you add all that up, and that's how you get this, you know, bombshell story that the entire world is reacting to today. The next step of this is, I think, where people's heads are at right now. What's Penn State going to do? Who are they going to hire? Who are the legitimate candidates for this job? Who are the make-believe fantasy candidates that are getting thrown out there? Bill Belichick getting grocked in Penn State gear. Nick Saban.
How about Chris Mueller?
Chris
I got
Mueller,
rocked. Our guy Nate,
Mike Tomlin, Sports Illustrated threw him out as a candidate for the job ridiculously.
I didn't know Dom started writing for them.
So there's just trying to parse through all that fact and fiction of this. I will make the same guarantee I did earlier in the show. I'd prefer at first to hear from Penn State fans on this because it's their school, it's their team, it's their job opening. Who they think Penn State should hire to replace James Franklin at 412-928-9370. But if Penn State fans don't want to take us up on that opportunity, well then, yeah, Pitt fans and anybody else can call in and give their 2 cents. But my preference would be to hear where people that are actually passionate about the program and about the football team, where they come down on what the school should do now. I tweeted out there after the or during the game, the Steelers game yesterday, and I honestly believe this. This was not done to tweak or troll. I do think that they should contact Urban Meyer. Like he kind of, the whole integrity thing that the athletic director threw out there at the start of it, he flies in the face of that. He doesn't have like the Penn State aura that you want. You know, they always talk about their grand experiment and they want student athletes first, and it's not just a training ground and breeding ground for the NFL.
Is it still that though? I mean
when the AD says integrity first, Chris.
Yeah, but all the
propagating that
mythology.
Okay, but
you want to hear from Penn State fans. The first thing I heard about from Penn State fans is we have the money to make a splash here. That's why we bought him out and we're going to make a splash. They're not talking about integrity and the grand experiment. They're very firmly planted
Look,
in the modern
people can
world.
Tell me who are Penn State fans who care about the school and went to school there, who the right fits are. I'm entitled to my opinion on who I think the best coaches available are. And I don't know if Urban Meyer would, you know, take the job. I don't know if he wants to get back into coaching, but he's not working and he's not retired like Nick Saban. So to me, he's younger than Kurt Cignetti, who's done an unbelievable job everywhere he's been, but he's not Urban Meyer. Urban Meyer is quite literally one of the 10 best coaches in college football history. There are very few human beings who you could say, I like this guy's resume more than his. And yes, he would be one. And yes, he's scuzzy. And yes, he flopped horribly in the NFL. So did Nick Saban. If, as someone that doesn't root for Penn State, if he went there, I would immediately think that Penn State was for real and could win national championships.
He's been there, done that.
Yes, 100%. And I don't think he's so far removed from the game where he's lost his fastball. So that's where I would start if I were them. I would think, just based on their history, although maybe you throw that out the window because they don't really have a lot of, you know, they've only hired two guys in the last, what, 60 years, going back to when Paterno was there, Bill O'Brien and James Franklin. They've skewed younger. But the program was in different places back then, Chris. I mean, it wasn't a desirable job when the scandal happened, because nobody knew what was going to go down in terms of like long-term sanctions and what the long-term lasting effects.
And then it was on the very beginning of whatever was going to look like a comeback trail, which is where Franklin would deserve credit even now.
Yeah, so hiring NFL assistant coaches or guys who were at like education first SEC schools like Vanderbilt, you've got to shoot way higher than that.
Meyer's the biggest name, and as somebody that's never rooted for Penn State a day in his life, I would love for them to hire Urban Meyer because it would make them even easier to root against. I think Urban Meyer
is harder to beat.
Oh, sure. I think Urban Meyer is a terrific college football coach and one of the biggest scoundrel clowns in history. Like, I just think he's one of the most loathsome human beings walking the earth in that profession.
And you don't think that that's disqualifying anymore?
Absolutely not. Dude, Bruce Pearl, just on the basketball side, I find loathsome, and he built Auburn into a national powerhouse.
I know, but don't you feel like Penn State has always put out the vibe that they're better than that?
Yeah, but they're not. James Franklin didn't come baggage-free from Vanderbilt.
That's a good point. That's a very good point, actually.
So, no, they weren't even above that with this one.
What do you think of the Cignetti idea?
I mean, I think if we're going to take Meyer and he's in his own category, was it fair? Can you and I categorize these real quick? Meyer is the moonshot. Like, he is the best name available probably because of track record, but let's just assume he maybe actually doesn't want to do college football anymore for the time being, or maybe ever.
Yep.
Okay, so that's one. Cignetti is the other, like, the current hot name who is doing almost unthinkable things with relative to the program he's coaching at. I'm not positive that Kurt Cignetti wants to leave Indiana. They're giving him everything he wants already. Presumably, he's going to go to the playoff this year. They look at worst like one of the four best teams in the country. They might be in the final four of this thing if things break right for them. What's to say he wouldn't just go right back to them and say, need a raise, need a little bit more, let's keep it going. I understand, this is where Penn State fans will not be able to fathom that I'm sort of paying them a compliment. Being great in Bloomington isn't quite like being great in Happy Valley. 110,000, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But they have given him every tool in the toolbox already to succeed there. Like, I'm not positive that they would just be able to lure him on general principles and say, come here, we're Penn State, they're Indiana.
I don't think it's general principles. I think they'd pay him more.
Are you sure? I mean, Cuban is one of many big boosters at Indiana. I think if Indiana...
Would Indiana make him the highest paid coach in college football?
I think if he wins the national title, they would happily do that.
But what if they don't?
And if he gets to the final, the last four teams, I think they would happily consider doing that.
Maybe it'll change, and I don't know Kurt Cignetti, but it just appears to me his dilemma, potentially, is like when Ben Howland left Pitt for UCLA. Yeah, Pitt was humming and was a really good college basketball team, but when UCLA calls you, you have to listen and probably say yes.
Isn't the equivalent, though, for UCLA and college hoops? I know it wasn't like that for UCLA at that point. It was more their historic tradition. But wouldn't that be more like Alabama or Ohio State, like their most storied program in college basketball, title-wise? Like, Penn State is a top 10-ish job, top 12 job. It's not one of those handful of schools that you're describing, though. It's not the UCLA of college football. It isn't. That's not me even hating. That's just, like, point in fact.
No, I would agree with that.
He's still, of the guys that are currently coaching, I would say he's number one and they should call him first. Here's who I still think, though, is going to be the guy that they probably call first. Matt Rhule checks a couple of boxes. Penn State football player. Loves Penn State. Worked for Pat Kraft at Temple.
Got Pat Kraft hired here.
Correct. Turned Temple around. Did go to Baylor. Turn a one-win team into an 11-win team at Baylor. Didn't do well in the pros. Kind of a theme here. Is seemingly doing good things again at Nebraska with a Patrick Mahomes mimic at quarterback in Rayola. And he and Pat Kraft still vacation together in the offseason.
But did you see the stat, Donnie?
He has a horrible record in big games.
Donnie, did you see Matt Rhule versus top 25
teams?
He's
horrible at it.
If no, James Franklin made you want to throw up, he's lost 17 in a row to top 25 teams. Why would you fire James Franklin to hire James Franklin with a beard and a smock that he wears to every game?
Donnie, you know what that would be? That meme would be?
The guy holding
up the red plaid shirt on Christmas
while
wearing
the same gift every year.
That would be Matt Rhule. How about here? I'll roll through a couple more. Just we'll do these more rapid fire. How about Matt Campbell at Iowa State? Builder.
Sure. But they don't need built. They're already built.
Also a Pitt guy. Would a guy who began his playing career at Pitt want to take this job? Brian Kelly.
Oh my God.
Has Brian,
he is one of the most insufferable.
He's as loathsome as Meyer. And might be a worse person. Does he really feel like a fit at LSU?
I got to be honest with you. I wouldn't hire him. And here would be my thinking. This is just me. Penn State fans are entitled to their own opinion, obviously, and it means a lot. But I would be like, why would I want a guy that's not really winning? I want a guy that needs to succeed at his last stop to get this job.
I mean, they're 10th in the country, and they're 5-1, but their offense kind of stinks, and that's his side of the ball. Nussmeier's taking a step back.
Well, my point is he hasn't succeeded at LSU yet, Chris.
Would you see
they've been worse than Notre Dame.
Would you look at it as a coup for Penn State that LSU is like an equivalent program that they're poaching from in the SEC?
No, I would not.
Lane Kiffin. This is my personal favorite pick.
Sure.
Lane is a
scoundrel.
They should
be all for that.
Lane knows offense.
Is he a scoundrel?
I shouldn't say a scoundrel.
What is he like? He's just a guy that understands college football for what it is. It's a den of thieves.
That's not the right word. That's not the right word. I'm trying to think of what is. He's a rapscallion. Is that better?
He's
going to swagger in there. He's going to be absolutely ridiculous. And he's going to, if one of their major complaints there has been the offense underwhelms, it ain't going to underwhelm with
Lane.
He's
a better
Kiffin.
Put together and smarter version of Todd Graham. Like, he knows
Todd's got family in State College, I've heard.
Oh, that would be unbelievable. But that's obviously not happening.
A couple other ones. This is the athletics list. Eli Drinkwitz at Missouri.
Yeah.
I mean, they barely lost to Alabama. They played a hell of a game.
That would be uninspiring.
Rhett Lashley, I think he's ticketed for the Arkansas job. He's
also
at SMU.
Also uninspiring.
John Sumrall at Tulane.
Also uninspiring.
Manny Diaz, I think Penn State fans know him.
He was the defensive coordinator.
They know him. PJ Fleck from Minnesota.
Oh my God.
Fran Brown.
I don't want them to take Fran from us. I think Fran would actually do great there.
Lance Leipold.
Kansas.
Yep.
I think Penn State's got to aspire for a greater than
the last name that is
the vast majority of that
list. The last
list that
name
you just
that
gave
the
me.
Athletic listed here is the funniest just because it's from the one school that's paid a bigger buyout. Mike Elko from A&M.
Yeah, they gave Jimbo Fisher, $70 million?
Yeah. They've got some of the deepest money in all of college
Here
football.
Is Mike in Greensburg. Hello, Mike.
Hello.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I want to throw a big name out there, Mike Munchak. I went to school with him. I attended some of his classes. Smart guy, a logistics major, All-American, number one draft pick, went to the Houston Oilers.
And you think he could wrap his head around paying college kids millions of dollars and treating college football like it's pro football?
Because it is.
Yes, yes. He wanted that
other
job,
than the humongous bag of
before Franklin.
That is true.
But that was 12 years ago. Would he still want it now, much older?
I know. Well, I'm. He's a year younger than me. He's 66.
I'm just saying
congratulations on all your success.
No, I'm saying he is a lot older than he was. It's different to want a job at 54 than it is at 66.
Correct. Yeah,
Cignetti's 64.
He's got integrity. He's a disciplinarian. Franklin was not a disciplinarian. That's why I miss Joe. Joe benched Curtis Eames for
Joe Paterno. We're talking about here.
I'm sorry, excuse
you
me?
Yes, Joe Paterno. He benched Curtis Enos for not wearing a suit.
Is that a true story? I don't think I've heard that one before.
The notion of, I'm not going to get
I love Mike Munchak. He's one of the greatest offensive line coaches of all time, and he helped the Steelers out immensely. It'll be interesting to hear if other Penn State fans agree that that's a good idea.
So you just for the record here, I listed a couple of big-time SEC coaches. Ole Miss is in the top five right now.
Yep.
Okay, LSU's in the top 10. And you said, I'm assuming Penn State fans would probably aspire to greater than what the Athletic listed here.
Yeah.
Outside of Urban Meyer, give me a name that...
I just told you Lane Kiffin would be the guy
that
I like.
Okay, but you said for the most part, is there anybody else besides Urban and Lane Kiffin that
and
you
Cignetti.
Think... Okay, so it's basically three names.
Yeah.
I think they're going to make the full court press for Cignetti, and then I think what's going to happen is this. This is my gut.
They're going to get Bill O'Brien back?
weirdly enough, I think Cignetti's going to stay at Indiana, and I think they're going to get Matt Rhule as choice number two and pitch it to fans as it's a Penn State man. This is a job. We needed a Penn State man for it. He's going to do it.
I think it's the 100% the right decision now, because he had completely lost not only that football team, but the fan base. It's one thing to lose to Oregon in double overtime during a whiteout. It's another thing to be the first coach in maybe ever to lose consecutive games as a 20 or more point favorite. That's never happened. And it means that he lost the football team. But I talked to several people who were in Happy Valley Saturday. He also lost a fan base. The fans had turned on him in such a toxic manner that the school had to take a look in the mirror and go, yeah, $49 million is a lot of bread, but he has to go.
That's absolutely right. Feinbaum down in SEC country nailed it. That was a very ugly scene left.
Did you watch the whole video? He's getting booed on the field. He waits for the tunnel to clear out, I think, of all players and, like, other family. And he walks, you'd think the boos would get better and, like, no one can see him. He walks under the tunnel, but they have, like, people lined up who are able to watch there in, like, premium seating, I guess, areas or whatever. Mm-hmm. The boos, the second he gets inside, are absolutely deafening. Like, it is a wall of noise that hits him that he is walking through.
We had a, excuse me. We had a text that came in on this that I wonder if Penn State fans agree with. Short of winning a national championship, this was the best result for Penn State this season. Like, if you felt like you were never going to get out of this, I won't say
if
rut.
If they had gotten to the national title game and lost, I think it would have still been better than this, but
okay.
That's it. So there's basically two other alternatives. Yeah. Win it or get to it. Otherwise this, yes. Because it forced action.
Yeah, rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah, it forced action.
So now it's up to Penn State to prove to everybody that they can do better. That going 10-2 every year and losing to Ohio State every year is not good enough.
I mean, I just
and
wonder...
And who's the guy to get them to that next rung on the ladder?
I just wonder what their priority is in the coach that they are looking for. How much does he have Penn State ties matter? How much does he... Like, because the guys that do the thing that Franklin didn't do, i.e. beat good teams in big situations, how many of those got, because they all have to be probably coaches of really good teams, how many of them are at programs that would actually lose a coach to Penn State?
Tony's on the fan. Hello, Tony.
Yes, this is the second time I called in related to Penn State. So 10 years difference. First time was with the whole Sandusky business, but... That text you just referenced earlier, I think that nailed it on the head. This is the second best thing. I mean, we needed to force an outcome. I mean, you know, we could get this result, his recruiting acumen aside, we could get this result with the scrappy walk-on, right? 10-2, lose the marquee games, back into the playoffs. But anyhow, I think we take a swing at Saban. I think that's the move. He's on College game day, big following, still relevant. Still looks energized and youthful, and he can immediately, if there's still defections to come in the recruiting trail, I think he stops that.
But he hates the state of college football. He
right.
doesn't want to coach in the sport anymore. That's the problem.
Is that firm? Is that for sure?
That's what he said.
I mean, Tony, when he was on his way out the door at Alabama, it became really evident that he had gotten very sick of the NIL era.
I mean, that's, I think,
and
the
he was also And he was also struggling to compete with other schools because Alabama lost its built-in advantage, which is that they were doing NIL under the table better than anybody.
Yeah, I just don't think he has the enthusiasm to coach in this under this set of rules.
Also, you know what? I'll say this since we're really talking ball here. I think you take Nick Saban and put him in the NIL era, and he's not the Nick Saban that dominated because I think he doesn't have access almost guaranteed
true
to a roster that
but
looks like it's a bunch of grown-ass men playing against children.
I would still 100% prefer him over Franklin.
I'm going to throw out a name that, Pony, you will laugh at, and you will say that guy is underwhelming. They should be looking at Brent Key from Georgia Tech. If they're looking for a guy who's off the radar of super, super big household names, he has taken over a team 3 years ago, 4-4, a pair of 7-6s. They're 6-0. And every time I watch Georgia Tech, my main takeaway is, God, I would love to root for that team because even when they lose, I feel like they lose in a way that would make me proud to be a fan of them. The guy just coaches like he's got brass ones in big games. Like, if he's going to go out and lose a game, he's going to lose on his shield. Like he did to Georgia. They just ran out of steam at the end.
Yeah. He's a Georgia Tech alum, though, right? Didn't he play college football there?
I believe so, yeah.
But money talks and BS walks.
He's a guy from the South, so he's, you know, I think he's from Birmingham originally or whatever, but like...
Well, that job just came open. Maybe he can go get that.
Trent Dilfer, what an incredible time he had.
The statement I saw, just quick aside from that, said athletic director Mark Ingram. Could it actually be that Mark Ingram?
I think
Mark Ingram, the Alabama Heisman Trophy winner, be the athletic director at UAB? Is that possible? Or is it just another guy in Alabama who has the same name as a Heisman Trophy winner who played college football in that state?
No, it's very much not the same one.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Well, my other thought wasn't there a Giants receiver that was Mark Ingram's dad?
Yeah, there was.
Is he still?
I don't know.
I hope I haven't done the is he alive thing.
Here is Derek on the fan. Hello, Derek.
Hi, guys.
Hey, man.
I like the Georgia Tech idea, but I got a name for you that I'd like to see them go young and get somebody young and ambitious like Brian Hartline out of Ohio State.
I like that idea.
Mind, good recruiter.
You say no, Malsy?
No, I am embarrassed that neither of us said that. That is a very good suggestion.
I mean, look at the wide receivers he pumps
out
every year.
That is a very good suggestion. And he's got cachet as an NFL
player. I don't want anybody over 60. So
why? You wouldn't take Cignetti or Meyer?
No, because I want something to be sustained. I think you get a young guy who has energy. I mean, I'm almost 60 and I don't have the energy I used to. I don't want to hire anybody like me. So,
yeah, but then again, no offense to you.
I don't want to hire anybody like me.
Kurt Cignetti appears to be a complete maniac, though. Also, what happens with Urban Meyer if and when, like, maybe they have a couple really good years, they get to the final, maybe they even win one, and then invariably, this is what happens with Urban Meyer. You have, like, a down year, something weird happens, Urban Meyer says suddenly he's going to retire, he's got to step away for his health again, and you find him right back on Big Noon Kickoff 3 weeks later.
Yeah, I mean, you can't rule that out with him because it's happened...
He's just a scumbag.
Two previous spots, but he also won national championships at both of those schools.
You know what?
And went undefeated at Utah before they were in a power conference and was good in the MAC, too.
Well, here's the other thing we haven't
mentioned. Everything he touches in college football turns to gold.
Here's the other thing we haven't mentioned. He also, at Ohio State, presided over a very ugly scandal with one of his assistant coaches. You remember that one?
Yeah.
That was extremely ugly. And he and his wife, I think, were written about in that story in a very unflattering way.
Yeah, but you brought up that there were accusations of what players did at Vanderbilt.
No, I know.
James Franklin still got the job.
No, that's all to say, like, yeah, if you think Penn State is above it, they wouldn't be above it. They weren't above it with Franklin.
Here's Jarrett on the fan. Hello, Jarrett.
Hey, guys. So Derek just stole my thunder. I was going to throw out Hartline. I think it also comes down to who it should be versus who it will be.
Yep.
Who it should be is someone like Hartline, or I actually think Matt Campbell from Iowa State. I know Mueller said that they don't need a program builder. I think they will, because I don't know how many of the – I know a lot of the top recruits just decommitted after Franklin left. But I think at the end of the day, who it will be, it's going to be Matt Rule.
Here's another – well, hold on. Don't go here, Jarrett. Matt Rule, I think, still is probably the best candidate – likeliest candidate, I should say. Not best, because I don't think he is the best.
That's pretty much what he just said.
Here's why, though. One of the things I know from just talking to people up there about Franklin that he never did was, like, ingratiate himself as truly part of the community. And that is not a big town. That ain't Columbus, like where Ohio State is, where it's a legitimate big city.
Okay.
You've got to have somebody, I think, who wants to be like part of the fabric of that town. Joe Paterno obviously was more than anyone could possibly have been. I think Penn Staters, it's important that the person actually wants to be in state college, not exactly a hotbed of activity during the offseason.
Well, then that's Matt Rule written all over.
That's what I mean. And I know for a fact that one reason people were quick to turn on James Franklin was he was not a fixture at events in town. He was not some guy, his wife... Like, he wasn't going out there and making sure he...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He was seen a lot.
All right, this is going to be a little bit of a new spin on PM team professors. And we still have to take some more calls on who Penn State will hire, because the best call on Penn State's football job search is going to win two tickets to see Seether and Daughtry at
the
UPMC.
Seether?
Seether. Seether. Seether and Daughtry at UPMC Event Center in
Seether.
November. Yeah. And I don't know. I'm not familiar with their work.
Hell, this trail is trying to fill all right. Back to the renegade.
Here is the news. Here is the spin for today on PM Team Professors. And we're going to start with Donnie, because this is the Donnie, I'm not. You should be able to get this one without me surprising you. Grade the Steelers' chances of winning the AFC North today.
I'm going to go A-. I'm pretty much converted, because the Ravens will have to be very, very close to perfect in that second half. And I don't know if they get Lamar Jackson just back fully healthy right
be
after that
Be careful what
bye.
You say. You don't want intern Jack, who's sitting right behind you, to bite your head off with these disparaging
what I'm
remarks
saying
for
that
Lamar
is if,
Jackson.
No, I'm saying if they don't get the guy 100% back after the bye, they're done.
Yeah, he's got to be perfectly healthy and stay perfectly healthy, or else they really are toast.
They finally became the favorite, though.
They were actually the favorite over the weekend. Not by a lot, but by a little bit before the ball even got kicked off on Sunday. I'm going to go A. How about you, Mulsey?
I'm with Donnie. A minus, just hedging.
You guys
hedging
are leaving the door open.
For
tab.
Like an the Steelers' schedule gets much tougher and their schedule gets much easier, but I think the Steelers are likely to win the division. I mean, only one team in the last, decade, I think it's been, is the Washington football team of 2020 has even started 1-5 and made the playoffs. I think you got to maybe
Colts in 18.
Oh, no, the Colts in 18, the Chiefs in
15,
whenever the hell it was, and then a team in 1970, the Bengals.
All right, Mulsey.
Yeah, A minus.
Give me a grade on the Steelers' chances of winning their first playoff game since 2016 right now.
If they win the division, they're definitely going to avoid, I would say, the Bills. Can't say definitely they're going to avoid the Chiefs, but I'm starting to feel better about that, because that division looks like it's going to be a rock fight. I'm going to give them a B+. Those still are the two teams that scare me. Chiefs just look like they're going to be the armed and fully operational battle station. Steelers go in there as the 4 seed. They'll get a wild card team. Let's all, the class together here, guess who that could be. Jags or Colts, because both of them look pretty good. I'll say
maybe,
Jags are likelier right now.
Maybe Patriots.
Patriots, Broncos,
Chargers.
That's pretty much it, right? Jags, Patriots, Broncos, Chargers.
Could be Chiefs.
I think the Chiefs are going to win that division. That's my bold take.
Yeah, but it could be them.
I would prefer it not be. If it's them, I don't like it. But you're getting that game at home against any of those four teams. I think that's a B+ chance. I think the Steelers should and would be favored to win that game.
Do you
game.
Guys know what one of Joe's hot takes was on Friday?
The Broncos winning the Super Bowl?
No. That the Patriots will pass up the Bills and win the AFC East.
Oh, Joe was doing the helmet, the mini helmets back in the lounge in our little hangout area.
Yeah.
He comes back, boys, I've got a new Super Bowl. It's a rematch. And he put the Patriots and the Rams helmets out there.
I just love the game that he plays
and
there.
And then his
Donnie, try to find two teams below 500 that'll go.
His big thing was, I can't put the Lions out there. They looked terrible last night. And then I said, well, the Rams just lost to the Niners when they were like an 8.5-point favorite. That's all right. Like, he just there was nothing. There's just nothing.
I think B-plus is the exact grade I would give it, Donnie. You too?
Yeah. I mean, it looks as if they're going to be at home, and I think we all just assumed over how many years now, yeah, that playoff game will be on the road. That's just always an assumption. But it looks pretty likely as of now they will get to host one.
The massive wild card for me is actually their O-line play. We have seen, for all of Pat Meyer, the slings and arrows he's taken, we have seen that after bye weeks is when he's gotten these guys going. They had their best, most cohesive game plan for an elite pass rusher yesterday, and they executed it. If suddenly Aaron Rodgers is standing back there able to really go through reads and make some throws down the field, I think they become a downright good offense on paper. Especially if they do what you want them to do, Pony, and trade for A.J. Brown in the middle of all this.
Well, I don't know why that's such a far-fetched thought right now.
I still think there's, like, are there enough footballs to go around in an A.J. Brown, DK Metcalf job share?
If the quarterback and wide receiver there can't get along with each other and it's tearing the team apart, the quarterback stays and the wide receiver
goes. Yeah, they're going to trade him. The one thing that would be beneficial about A.J. Brown, though, this isn't novel. He and DK Metcalf played together at Mississippi. They would be probably pretty friendly.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
They worked out together, too.
All right, that was PM Team Professors.
Class dismissed already.
I mean, what were we going to do? Grade offensive line, A plus. Grade, yeah, everything was great.
This was truly a perfect storm for the Penn State situation. The Steelers got their most ho-hum, business-like, we're complaining about grass today. That's how little there was.
Well, that was Aaron Rodgers' fault for bringing it up.
We couldn't even get on Mike Tomlin for using timeouts very early in halves because he didn't need them. He could have just burned them all at the beginning of each half and it wouldn't have mattered.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.